Twelfth Night might just be the most lighthearted of Shakespeare's plays, as its subtitle, Or What You Will, should tell you. Nothing's meant to be taken too seriously, but behind the identity shifting and the dancing, there's some ideas about love that might just stay with you. Paul Mitri is the director of the University of Hawaii at Manoa Department of Theater and Dance Production, and he's with us in our studio. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
There's a really happy spirit throughout this play, isn't there?
Oh, yeah. That's why it is the most musical of all of Shakespeare's plays. And so we are setting it in a ballroom setting because we also feel that that really fits the atmosphere of Illyria, which is the world that Shakespeare kind of created.
Yeah.
And, so it's a toe-tapping, sing-along type of show.
As close as he came to writing a Broadway musical.
Yeah. And, yeah, I think, you know, if we had more time, we probably could have turned this one into one. We have three original songs. Rachel Ueno, who plays Festi, she took the lyrics and she created her own melody.
Uh-huh.
And then Ike Webster, another student of ours, then put all of the accompaniment with that. So you'll actually hear three original songs for us.
Kind of made it into the musical it always wanted to be, in a sense.
Yeah. So, you know, more time, more resources, we could do the whole play that way.
With plenty of dancing, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have one of our MFA in dance students, Mike Romney. He's choreographed. He's a ballroom teacher for us as well. And so he's choreographed all of the ballroom parts of it. So many of the transitions in between scenes have a dance ensemble of four. So we've got from waltzing to swing to some rumba. So we kind of have everything.
Some of the best musicals, at least for me, where you know the character's about to burst into song or burst into dance, have a kind of a silly plot that seems to fit everything, you know, where things are just a little wacky. And that would describe this plot, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's in Shakespeare's play, it's a shipwreck.
Right.
But for us, it's almost a Wizard of Oz type of thing. You have Viola and Sebastian find themselves kind of thrown into this very odd world, and they kind of have to go, okay, now I'm here. This is a very strange place. What am I going to do? Well, she decides, for whatever reason, to dress as a guy and serve a duke. the plot points are a little bit thin, but if you can go along with that kind of madness of what Illyria is, it can make perfect sense to it.
Well, almost the name Illyria sort of evokes illusion, hallucination, whatever. And but you also have the trope of somebody falling in love when they didn't plan to.
Yeah, it's for me also that like all of the characters that live in Illyria, they seem to have this idea of, you know, love is this surface thing. It's glitzy. It's the idea of being in love is so much more, you know, interesting. It isn't until Viola comes and kind of she speaks just from the heart, and the way that she talks to Orsino, the way she talks to Olivia, really makes both of them kind of go, oh, that's what love is.
Yeah.
And so both of them fall in love with her, and hence the comedy ensues.
And yet they're falling in love with what they see.
Yeah. I think in our production, it's really, in a way, it's almost like Cyrano de Bergerac. You know, it's the soul that is speaking, and so they are falling in love with that. Orsino thinks it's a boy, and so is obviously conflicted there. Olivia has vowed, you know, never to have anybody, you know, any kind of suit from anybody, and yet as soon as Viola, dressed as a boy, says, this is what I would do if I fell in love. Make me a willow cabin at your gate and call upon my soul within the house. Then Olivia goes, oh, that's what love is.
And nobody ever talked to her that way before.
Yeah, and so falls in love with what she thinks is a servant, you know, and a boy. So they, all of the characters kind of have to make their own journey into what really is love, what is below the surface of the glitz.
And that's really a lot to put into an essentially frothy plot, isn't it?
Well, for me, everything begins with the text. So for me, it's all there. You just have to mine it for that, you know? You can't just kind of gloss over it and go, well, I think it's about, this and therefore put all of that on top. Start with the text and say, this is what is really happening there. Orsino has a lot of beautiful speeches in a way, but also some of it is kind of doggerel, you know. Mm-hmm. At the very beginning, he goes, if music be the food of love, okay, play on. I got nothing else.
Yeah. And usually it's said right, without that hesitation, takes on a completely different meaning.
Yeah, and it can have a very general melancholic, this is love poetry type of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's probably a reason why all of his love poetry hasn't gotten him very far with Olivia. And that's also kind of where – so when Viola does just speak from the heart, that makes an impact.
Well, Paul, the approach that you just described taking to the play, mm-hmm. going beyond the surface, is the very approach that the play urges you to take about people.
Mm-hmm.
Get beyond the attractive surface, find out what's really there.
Yeah, I think Shakespeare did that, you know, certainly better than his contemporaries. He had a way, and that's why he's still the most produced playwright today. He had a way of speaking and having his characters speak that whether they were royalty or common folk, we could still relate to them, you know. And that's what I think all of these characters too, you know. You have Festi, who also tells the truth as the jester. You've got, you know, the clowns. They have a lot of fun. Sir Toby Belch, you know,
yeah.
Sir Andrew Aguecheek. They're people also out there just kind of searching for love as well. So, yeah, it's all about kind of what is – just dig deeper. And at our core, we're all the same.
And no one is entirely a caricature.
No.
Even
no.
The heavily caricatured Sir Toby Belch character.
Yeah, no. Our students are doing a really great job with all of their characters. So, you know, it's something I think our community, you know, should really realize is that our students there, these are really talented people. And come out and support them because, you know, they who knows, they could be the next movie stars.
Who knows indeed. Thanks a lot, Paul.
Thank you.
Paul Mitri is the director of the University of Hawaii at Manoa's Department of Theater and Dance production of Twelfth Night. Be performed in the Campus Center Ballroom January 27th and 28th and February 3rd and 4th at 7 p.m. with matinees on the 28th and the 4th. Chug-a-lug, 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 chug-a-lug.